Morning.
Today I'll read from John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Thank you, Reese, for reading the word to us this morning. If you would like to stand, please do so now. Let's lift our voices. Hearts to the Lord in praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father and the Son. Praise Father and the Son. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father and the Son. Praise Father and the Son. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Like a vow that is tested in a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Father, the orphan, the kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. You will have your bride, free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, known by her true name. And it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. sing, worthy are you, Lord. And that's why I sing, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
About you, it's all
all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you,
a federal holiday in the United States celebrated on the first Monday in September to honor and recognize the American labor movement and the works and contributions of laborers to the development and achievements of the United States. Labor Day is also celebrated in many different countries around the world, such as Australia, China, England, Germany, Mexico, and New Zealand, just to name a few. Labor Day is also known as May Day in some countries that celebrate Labor Day during the month of May. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12 reads, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. In the manner of American politics, it has been decreed that a day should be set aside to honor the common laboring man. When this was first done, most of us did indeed work with our hands and not on a keyboard and a mouse. On Labor Day, such work is glorified. But I suspect that if most of us were offered the life of ease and luxury, we would not turn it down for the honor of being a laborer. The scripture gives us a different viewpoint. For the most of us, we are to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life. Have you ever heard of leading a quiet life described as someone's ambition? Or for that matter, do you have the ambition to mind your own business, let alone the ambition to work with your own hands? There is wisdom in this. Paul gives us two reasons here. First, that we may win the respect of outsiders, and that secondly, we may not be dependent on anybody. Labor, you see, is not an end in itself. It must have a purpose. Most of us are not called to be preachers or evangelists. We are called to be just plain us. But our labor may have a divine purpose. If others look at us with respect, our words about the Lord Jesus Christ may carry that much more weight. Think of it this way. The man standing on a soapbox in the park may be preaching the truth, but who is listening? We're human. What we listen to often depends on who is saying it. So our labor, our quiet life, and minding our own business may indeed serve as a testimony to the righteousness which is in Jesus Christ. Labor, then, is secondary to the cause of Christ. There is a third reason, not discussed in this passage, but frequent elsewhere, for these strange ambitions. Many of us labor not for the quiet life, but for the materials that labor can bring. We work hard not to win respect from others, but to buy the status symbols in our society mandates. What we work for says a great deal about who we are. Our work shows our priorities in action. Communion is a time to reflect on ourselves. That includes our priorities. What are you working for? Does your lifestyle say, I'm working to get ahead? And get ahead of what? To keep up, but to keep up with whom? To have more, and why? Or does it say, I work to provide for my family. Other than that, my ambition is not for wealth, but for Jesus Christ? Words are not heard in the presence of action. As we take the Lord's Supper this morning, let's ask all of ourselves, just who am I working for? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for those that did make it a priority to be here this morning. We also know there's several that would rather be here, but not able to, so we lift them up to you as well. Lord, we thank you for all of your many blessings. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the love that you have shown to us, though we're not worthy of it, but you blessed us anyway, and you paved the way, Lord, after this life for us to enter into your eternity. And we thank you and praise you for that sacrifice. We just pray that we'll just continue to do a better job in this coming week, months, and years. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings of life you give us. We ask you to please bless these emblems that we're about to take right now as we reflect on ourselves. Thank you in Christ's precious name. Amen.
God with all my heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The Lord your God is all my heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I will love your thought is all my heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I will love the Lord is all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, all my mind, with all my strength. All your my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you. I will love you. I will praise you. I will praise you.
Thank you, Mr. Jeremiah. I love that Jeremiah gets excited about singing for Jesus. Jeremiah gets excited about doing anything for Jesus. And our world just needs a lot more of that. So thank you, Jeremiah. Like Greg mentioned in his communion meditation, tomorrow is Labor Day. And for many, many Americans and many of you, I know not everybody, but for many people, tomorrow is a day off from work. It's a federal holiday. It's going to be a day that's filled with picnics, barbecues, shopping, recreation, and a lot of other activities that people have planned for their holiday weekend. But I want to share just real quick a little bit of history, Labor Day history for you. Labor Day, its whole purpose is to pay tribute to the contributions American workers have made for the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. The first holiday was held on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882, in New York City, and by 1885, it was being celebrated in many of the industrial centers of our country. The first state to make it an official holiday was Oregon in 1887, and by 1894, 31 states had made it an official holiday. Later that year, Congress passed an act making the first Monday in September of each year a legal holiday in the District of Columbia and in all the territories. So the form that the observance of celebration of Labor Day should take were outlined in the very first proposal of the holiday, a street parade to exhibit to the public the strength and esprit de corps of the trade and labor organizations of the community, and followed by a festival for the recreation and amusement of the workers and their families. So it was just a day for workers and their families to get away from work, don't even have to worry about work, think about work, and just enjoy a day of rest. So while this weekend we celebrate the wonderful job of our working people, I want to tell you this morning that I think we need in America today to see more of an importance of the day of rest that God instituted for us. Now here, I'm going to say this at the beginning of my sermon, and you'll hear me say it at the end of the sermon today. I am not preaching to be lazy. That is not what this sermon is saying. So hear that. I am not making a call to stay home and be lazy. God has asked you to work, like Greg mentioned in his communion meditation this morning. We are called to provide for our families. God has put us to work in the kingdom. God himself works and labors. But God in his wisdom also instituted rest. So I titled my sermon, God Says Rest. So though we are celebrating labor tomorrow and the American worker, I want to focus on the rest that we are given. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. Jesus himself says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is life." I read an article that said that the only industrialized country in the world that takes less time off from work than we do is Japan. In fact, the situation in Japan is probably worse than here in America. Although they supposedly get 2 weeks of paid vacation a year, most of the Japanese workers don't even take that. The Japanese work so hard that one of the most pressing health issues in Japan is called karoshi, which is literally translated death by overwork. And we're starting to, we see this in America for the American worker. And here we have a call from God, Jesus. The call to rest. Jesus says, "Come to me." He literally says, "Come to me, all who are weary, all of you who are tired, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest." We see this spoken in directly to us in our text this morning, where Christ is calling us to rest in him. And I know he's not just talking about physical rest, but to give him your cares, give him your worries. Let your mind, sometimes we work so hard in our mind and we're so busy in our mind and spirit, we literally cannot get our bodies to rest and our minds and hearts to rest at night to sleep. And we also see this clearly in early scripture, way back in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, we're studying the Ten Commandments in our adult Sunday school class, and we haven't got to this one yet. But in his law to the Jews, and I understand we're not under Jewish law today, but God instituted this for a reason. In Exodus chapter 20, God said, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the day of rest that God rested from his work and keep it holy." This in some sense seems like the most unusual of all the, if you look at all the different commandments, the do's and the don'ts of just the Ten Commandments God gave his people, this probably seems like the most unusual one. Why? Why would God require us not to work on the seventh day? Or why would God require us to take a day of rest? And God's intention for this was not just to pick out a day of the week and be lazy and do nothing. In fact, Jesus comes along, he has to explain to the people, and he talks to the people, you know, "I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to, you know, fulfill it, lay it out, show you the heart issue behind each all of the laws." And, you know, Jesus even goes in front, you know, if there's good to be done for God, do it. He's not saying be completely lazy and do absolutely nothing. Like, that's what the Jews took it as. It's literal. To lay around, I mean, you weren't allowed to cook for yourself. I mean, you weren't allowed to do anything. But God requires us to have a day of rest because it's a special day. In Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3, it says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." This wasn't something he just did with the Jews. This was before he instituted all that. When he created the earth, after the 6 days, God made a seventh day. And he made it holy. He rested on purpose. Because on that day, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God made it a special day. Why do we need a special day? Because we need to rest. We were not created by God with limitless energy. He could have made you that way. He could have made you. He could have given you a body that needs no rest. He could have given you a body that doesn't need to sleep during the night. But he didn't. He created all of nature, all of creation. If you pay attention, needs rest. The animals do not even have unlimited energy. Animals need to rest, from mammals to reptiles to fish. All those things need a time of rest. Some of the animals even hibernate for weeks or months or years. Hibernate. The earth, the ground itself needs to rest. You talk to any farmer, they talk about the ground and how you have to rest the ground and you have to allow the ground to rejuvenate and be back filled back with nutrition and ready to do what it was intended to do, to bring life forth from the ground. God made all of nature with the need for rest, and he didn't have to do that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about why he did that later. So we have this call from Jesus to rest. And we know that God created you and I to need rest. But we live in a world today that likes to ignore that. And we feel for ourselves, I'm just being lazy if I rest. But over and over again in the Bible, from Genesis all the way to the end, we have a lot of examples of rest. And the first one we see, like I just read you, was God. God, after the creation, rested. Now don't forget, God is complete in himself. God needs nothing. God does not need rest. God does not need a vacation. God does not need sleep. But he did it for a reason. Even though it was a very, very busy week, that whole week of creation, and God did a lot of big, exciting things. You think of all the things God did in 6 days. All the things he created in 6 days. He took time out to rest. He enjoyed what he just created. Don't forget, on the day he created man, he stepped back. Said, "That is good. Not only is it good, that is very good. What I just created." Christ on earth, Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, walking on the very earth that he created, rested. He gives us the example of rest. We see Jesus going to the mountains by himself and into the wilderness and praying and resting. Notice what Jesus does when he's resting. What's he doing? Is he just laying in a hammock, resting and doing nothing, maybe reading a book? No. What's he doing? He's spending time with the Father, God. But we also see Jesus taking physical rest. When we see the disciples in the boat, and there's storms all around them, and they're scared out of their minds, focused on very much on earthly things, what is Jesus doing? Sleeping. We know that Jesus took time out to be alone and rest in God. And we know he rested his physical body. When God came in the flesh, as much as he was God, he was that much human too. His physical body was created just like yours and mine, requiring rest and sleep. So God gives us through himself the reason that we need rest. So why? Which if you're following along in the outline, I'm on point three already. Why do we have this resistance to rest, especially here in America, or we like to call busyness? Why do we have this resistance to rest and we always have to be busy? We spend our lives running from appointment to appointment to, and I'm learning the older I get, that doesn't slow down as you get older. In fact, I'm learning that accelerates a lot the older you get. I've learned that my parents and Mary's parents, it seems like after they got into their 50s and are now into their 70s, they are literally every day going to appointments. We always tease them and make fun of them. Appointment. I can't do this. I got an appointment here. I can't do that. I got an appointment there. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor and don't go to your appointments. But we fill ourselves with appointments, and we think that's a good thing all the time. I'm not talking doctor appointments. I'm talking other appointments. And we fill our schedule so much, and we sit back and like, man, that's a good thing. And we spend our lives doing that, and we live guided by our calendars, our day planners, and now our cell phones tell us each and every day everything that you have to get done. And I've caught myself even at the end of a day, a very busy day, putting my head down on my bed pillow, and it's already racing through my mind what I got to get accomplished the next day. And all the stuff. We have this constant resistance to resting. And a lot of it is due to peer pressure. We don't want others to think that we are lazy. I read a little illustration of a man who told his doctor that he wasn't able to do all the things around the house that he used to do. After the examination, he said, "Now, doc, I can take it. Just tell me straight out in plain English what is wrong with me." "In plain English," the doctor said, shrugging his shoulders, "you're just lazy." "Okay," said the man, rubbing his chin. "Now give me the medical term so I can go home and tell my wife." We make ourselves so busy that we think if we take a day of rest and doing nothing physically, that we're being lazy. Or if we think, if I get too much sleep, I'm a lazy person. It always cracked me up. It wasn't until I was an adult that I remember older people in my life used to always make fun of me. I get up at 4 a.m. every day. You lazy young people, you sleep till 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm up at 4 doing this, and this. And I looked and I got to thinking. I think I was in my 30s. I finally got to thinking. But you go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. I go to bed at midnight a lot of night, and I'm not saying that's a good thing either. But I do. I get up at midnight, and I get up between 7 and 8 o'clock every morning. I'm getting the same amount of sleep as the older person that gets up at 4 a.m. So does that make him lazy because he's going to bed 4 hours earlier than I am? Or me lazy because I'm getting it? Neither. We shouldn't be concerned about that. In fact, most of us don't even get that amount of sleep, which is not good either. And I'll talk about that here in a second. But how many of you were asked on a tip, maybe even today, but on a typical Sunday morning or wherever you go, what did you do this week? We do that in Sunday school class. We talk about the blessings of the week and what we all did this week and what got accomplished this week. And it's almost like, oh, our brains are scrambling what am I going to come up with to tell everybody what I did this week? I don't want to appear like I didn't accomplish anything or do anything this week. What do you suppose would happen if the response would have been, if somebody asked you, what'd you do this week? If you just said, well, you know, I took a good nap the other day. Nobody wants to do that. Except I do have a good friend. He sits back in our sound booth. Every once in a while, I'll talk to Jonathan, and I'll say, "What are your plans today?" And he's not afraid to tell me, "I'm going to take a nap today." I'm like, "Good for you, brother," because I know how busy he is all week long. Nowhere in our Christian walk should we be ashamed to say, "I rested." I rested today, not for the sake of just being lazy, but I allowed myself time. Time for my body to heal and time for my spirit to heal. Because you see, when Jesus rested, who was he with? God. If we spend 7 days a week busy, where is your time with God? I told you there was a reason why God took a day to rest. It was for our benefit and his, so that we would have a day devoted to him. You are all here at church today. When you woke up this morning, because you're at church today, I'm going to make an assumption. What was the priority of your day today? To go be with God. You had a morning off of work this morning, or you wouldn't be. I'm assuming nobody's skipping work today to be here. You had a morning off, and you said to yourself and you said to your family, this morning we're going to rest in the presence of God. In all reality, if you told somebody who asked you, what'd you do this week, and you said, I took a good nap, or I took a day off of work, you'd probably get a lot of laughing and probably made fun of a little bit or teased a little bit. And that's where our society has come, where we don't take a day of rest. And Satan has put so much competition out there where we are doing everything, even on the one day that we set aside to be with God. We fill it up with flea markets, sports events, work. There's some people that end up getting jobs where they work literally 7 days a week. They work 6 days a week and have no time, whatever, to spend with God. Rest is definitely not admonished in our society today. And let me tell you, that comes from the evil one, because it robs you of time with God. Most of the time, we equate busyness with success. That is a lie given by Satan. The busier you are, the more successful you're going to be. That is not true. Success comes in your relationship with Jesus. Where am I in my walk with God? In fact, often busyness leads to much less success. You get so busy, you can't do anything well. You stretch yourself so thin, you're not being the dad that everybody needs you to be. You're not being the husband your spouse needs you to be. You're not being the child that your family needs you to be. You're not being the brother or sister in church doing ministry like the church family needs you or counts on you to be there to do. You're not doing that. You're not fully the employee your employer needs to. You're so stretched thin because of your busyness. You're not able to be and do what God's called you to do. Which brings me to number four. Let's take a quick look. I think I got three of them here. Benefits of rest. If you want to write these down, because they're pretty obvious. Number one is just to rejuvenate the body. You were created and given a body that needs to be rejuvenated. You do not have endless energy. Sometimes you get sick purely because you have not rested the body enough. You get sick in the physical body. You get sick in the mind. You can't think straight. You can't do things the way you usually do. And you physically feel ill sometimes because of lack of rest. Not getting enough sleep at night. Working yourself way too hard. 6-7 days a week. It's not good for the body. Because your body's saying to you, I need rest. Your body was created to work and to work hard, but it was also created to rest. God needs you and wants you to slow down. And He wants you to slow down so you can see Him, so you can hear Him, so you can be with Him. Your body is literally forcing you to do what you have failed to do when it gets sick. It's forcing you to slow down. Forcing you to take a break. Forcing you to be at rest. It's amazing how God created the human body. After rest comes, greater energy comes to be more efficient and to do anything that we endeavor to do. It's just the way God created us. So physically, the benefit of rest is to rejuvenate your body. You've got to do that. But secondly, once you get rest and you allow your body to be at rest, comes a renewed mind. Jesus talked about that. Paul talked about that. Mentally, you're more focused. You see things. You literally see things differently mentally when you have had rest. Why do you think? You think? Look at the Bible. Every time Jesus did something huge, what did He do right before it? Rested. Went to be with God. Before He went to the cross, where was Jesus? In the garden, alone with His Father. When He went out and did huge things in the world in His ministry, where did He go? To the wilderness with His Father. And Satan tempted Him in so many different ways to get busy. When Jesus was in the wilderness, alone, being quiet, resting with the Father, what did Satan want Him to do? Work. Prove Himself. Do this. Do that. Worship this. Worship Me. Tried to get Jesus to say, what do you think Satan's doing today to you? I need you. Satan needs you distracted. He needs you and wants you busy. So you're not able to do what God's called you to do. So when we are rested, we have this renewal of mind, mentally and emotionally, and we have a restored spirit. When you get to spend a whole day with God, I'm talking a whole day. Most of us don't do that. We spend Sunday morning from about 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock with God. When was the last time you took a whole Sunday with God? A whole Sunday. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. And then what does it say? He refreshes my soul. When you allow your body and spirit to be quiet in the presence of God, there is a promise there. He will refresh and restore your soul. You think of everything you've been through in the last week. Everything you got accomplished, all the busyness, all the hustle, all the things you had to do. That's taxing on your mind, body, and soul. God has given you a day to refresh. And He says, I will restore you. I will get you back to where I need you on Monday. To do what I've asked you to do for the rest of the week. So there's definitely benefits of rest that we see each and every day, but we like to ignore that and push because we think the rest of the world is just going to call us lazy. Now hear this loud and clear. It is lazy to be doing nothing 7 days a week. It is not lazy to take one day of the week and say that day belongs to God. That is my day to be with my Creator, my Heavenly Father, and to allow Him to refresh me and get me ready for the week to come. That is not lazy. Now, Jesus did say, even on that day that you were spending with God, if there's something good that needs to be done and God's put that in your path, go ahead and do it. That's not sinful. You know, obviously on our day, Sunday, if somebody has some major tragedy in their life, in our community or in our church, or something, we're going to go be with them and help them. And that's being with the Lord as well. But let's look at the rest of the benefits that God gives. If you're in my outline, I'm on the last one, number five. What does rest look like in the life of a Christian? A well-rested Christ follower, what do they look like? A well-rested follower of Christ spends a day alone with God each week. Every week. Spends a day with God. And I know sometimes that's hard. And you can say, well, I can't spend a whole day alone. I got children. I got family. I got grandkids. I got this, right? You can spend a whole day alone with God, with your family. You don't have to have a huge agenda on the list with your family. You can tell your family, this is going to be God's day. We're going to do some things that honor God. We're going to start our day with going to church and worshiping Him. We're going to spend Sunday dinner together talking about what God's done, what God's done. We're going to allow God to bless us as a family. You don't have to be rush, go to this game, go to that game, get that building built, do this, the project, that project. God giving you 6 other days to do all those other things. A person, the look of rest looks like a day to rest and spend your time focusing on God. That's what today, if you choose Sunday to be that day, that's what that should look like. A day of rest to spend time focusing on God. We focus on so many different things throughout the week. Let today be the day that everything you focus on is surrounding Him. Think about His promises to you. Spend all day today just thinking about the promises. Remember I tell you, every time you see a promise in the Bible, highlight it real big. Think about the promises that He's promised you today. Think about His commands that He's given you, the things that Jesus has asked you to do. I know that we're not under Jewish law, but God, through Jesus, gave the Gentiles, us, many commands to go love each other, pray for one another, pray for your enemy. Think about Jesus' commands all day long today. What has He commanded you to do in your life that you are or you are not doing? Think about His love for you. That's what a day of rest looks like. Spend today meditating on God's love for you. Sundays are great to do that. But whatever day works for you is God's Sabbath for you. I mean, if Wednesday's your day off, Friday's your day off, whatever's best for you. God has asked us, spend a day focused on Me, your Creator. Be inactive. Write that one down. Be inactive. Rest is not the same as recreation. Because much of recreation is not restful. Going on a 10-mile hike at the state park on your day of rest is not restful. Trust me, I know. In your inactivity, remember this. You're going to take a day off. You're going to be not active. But remember, in your inactivity, don't force other people to be active. Don't tell the family, well, I'm not going to do anything today, so you're going to have to do it. No, prepare all week for your family to have a day of inactivity, to rest in God. Make that part of your 6-day plan for the next coming week, that you can come together Sunday and just say, we're all going to be chill and allow God to renew us as individuals and as a family. So be inactive. And the last thing I'm going to, I think it's the last one. Yeah. And this one's why I struggle with this one too. Get ample sleep. We live in a society that says if you sleep too much, you're lazy. That's not true. I've learned that the hard way. Get ample sleep first at night. Most adults require between 7 and 9 hours of sleep at night. And most adults get far less than 7 hours of sleep at night. I paid attention for a year in my adult life. And I, for that year, I normally got 5 to 6 hours of sleep that night, that year. That's not good. And it's not good for a Christ follower. If the body requires 7 to 9 hours of sleep and you're only getting 5 to 6, you are depriving your body of fully getting rested. And then we wonder why the body won't do what we need it or want it to do all week long. My wife kind of taught me something new, and I haven't done it yet, and I need to. Set alarms. Not just when to wake up, but when to go to sleep. Mary's watch used to started going off at a certain time, like 8:30 at night. I said, why is your alarm going off? What time does it go off? Oh, 10:20. I'm sorry. 10:20 seems like 8 o'clock to me. That's her alarm telling her, you need to go to bed and you need to go to bed now to get the amount of sleep you need to get through your workday tomorrow. Too many of us stay up way far too late. I am guilty of that. I like the nighttime. Therefore, when I get up at 7 or 8, I'm not. That's something I'm going to work on. Whatever you need to be. Make sure you are getting ample sleep. God made the day and he made the night for a reason. He made the night for things to rest. Even all creation, nature, and I know there's nocturnal animals, but nature rests at night. Things are different in nature in the nighttime. And then we also need to rest during the day. Take nap. Your preacher's telling you, take naps if necessary. I'm not telling you during your workday. When you're working for your employer, you work for your employer. But take a nap without apology or shame. If on a Saturday that your day was just so busy and Saturday's filled with chores and this and that you need to get accomplished at home, but man, your body's just drained and fizzed, take an hour or 2 hour nap and don't be ashamed about it. Or you're going to get sick. Don't ever be ashamed for resting your body or thinking you're lazy. Now, I said at the beginning, and I'm going to say it again at the end, I am not condoning laziness this morning. Don't go home and say, the preacher told me to be lazy today. I'm calling us to make sure we take periods of rest, Sabbath rest, daily rest. And of course, I hope this morning that all of us are at rest with the Lord. That's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened. I hope all of us who have given our lives to Jesus Christ are at rest with the Lord. I know that some here today likely find that their greatest need for rest is in their spiritual lives. If you find yourself in that place, come to Jesus. That's the call this morning. Come to Jesus, who wants to give you rest for your weary soul. If your spirit does not know where it is with God, if you're not at ease knowing, you know what, I'm going to spend eternity with God. If you don't know that, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Receive everything I want to give you, and I will put your spirit at ease. And then there's others of us that need to rest for their physical lives. Sometimes that's me too. Christ wants to help with that too. If you find yourself completely, physically drained, Jesus says, spend time with me. Be still. Know that I am God. And let me minister to your heart. Christ wants to help you with giving you a new mindset. And he wants to give you the ability to rest. So why not allow Christ to help you in whichever of these areas you need him to help you with today? That's the call this morning. That's the invitation this morning. If you need spiritual rest, boy, you should be running up here this morning, bowing before the throne of God and ask him, in the name of Jesus, to put your spirit at rest, to know for sure where you're going to be for eternity, and accept that gift of grace from Jesus. If you're physically and emotionally and mentally drained, come to the throne of God this morning. Ask for the ability to rest. Satan has given the lie that when you rest, you're being lazy and you're not doing the work of God. That's wrong. God gave you 6 days to do that. He put in an extra day, the seventh day, to give you rest. Rest. So as we're celebrating Labor Day tomorrow, thank you for your labors. Thank you for your work. I want to include that in the kingdom as well. Thank you for your work in the kingdom. Some of you work very, very hard in the kingdom. I want to also encourage you, enjoy and take your day of rest that God's given you every single week. Let's stand and let's respond to that message this morning.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the
I want to give you a few